Oh, shit. I was dusting something off and it hit a button. We got to dust something off. Just for a few moments. All right. I know someone out there is going to say, yeah, you went to the local store this morning and picked up the hat. You're not really a supporter of Hit Row. Well, if you didn't know, I was a supporter of Hit Row. Well, now you know. Now you know. Good morning, everybody. It is 11.05 a.m. on Saturday, the 13th of August. I am back once again with the Don Tony Show. And awesome that you could join me, whether it's live or on the replay. We definitely have some discussions to make. We will talk about Hit Row making a return. Some weird shit going down last night towards Swerve Strickland. But Tony Khan, you know, for a couple of years, poking the bear. How many times over the last couple of years that we said, you know, Tony, don't poke the bear. Sooner or later, the bear may fight back. And no, I don't believe Triple H and WWE are doing what they're doing to try to put AEW out of business. But it's the old saying, you know, do your stuff good and want people to tune into your stuff because you're good, not because they're bad. And for 3 years, Tony Khan, in a lot of interviews, telling us that, oh, they keep changing the script, Raw sucks, this and that, insults, because why? Because Vince McMahon was at the helm. Bruce Pritchard was at the helm. You got to look into the mindset of Tony Khan growing up as a wrestling fan, hardcore into Ring of Honor, ECW to a certain extent, New Japan Pro Wrestling. What do they all have in common? Yes, ECW ended up working with WWE towards the end, but they were renegades. They were against the system, against Vince McMahon. Again, you see what's going on right now on social media. I mean, it's not a joke. You could see it right before your very eyes. When Hit Row were let go last year, almost everybody that had a problem with Hit Row was that they're not ready for prime time. They saw what they saw in NXT, and they felt they're better suited in NXT. They're not ready for prime time. Okay, fine. Fair argument. Now all of a sudden, it's the greatest thing to these people. Why? Because Triple H is at the helm. And that is based on hope. That is based on hope. And there is nothing wrong with basing it on hope. We hope that Hit Row will be utilized better under Triple H. Now, let's also keep it in perspective, friends. When Hit Row was in NXT, when Adam Cole was in NXT, you could take anybody you want that was in NXT when Triple H was running the thing, and what were the ratings? 700,000, 800,000 on a special event, you know, 600,000, 650, 700,000. You think WWE would be a billion-dollar company right now if their ratings on TV were around that number? So this is the question that I really think people should have asked themselves up until now. Was Triple H in NXT more of a Vince McMahon where he can handle a billion-dollar creatively run company? Or is Triple H more of a Gabe Sapolsky? This is a compliment to Gabe Sapolsky. Gabe Sapolsky was in Ring of Honor. When Gabe Sapolsky was in Evolve, Gabe Sapolsky groomed and developed a lot of the stars that you see on TV here today. But when they were in Evolve, when they were in Ring of Honor, and they weren't 16 years old in those companies, some of these wrestlers were hitting 30. But when they were in those companies, You look at the attendances. Could, other than WrestleMania weekends, you could never blow the doors off with all of these wrestlers. People bring up, oh, yesterday was the 15-year anniversary of Bryan Danielson and Nigel McGuinness. And this, you look at the audience. Did we have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people in attendance? You know, or did we have a couple of hundred? So the thing is, Gabe Sapolsky did a great job. All past stuff aside, did a great job building these younger, inexperienced stars to become legit. But it took the WWE machine to get them to superstar status. Say what you want about Vince. Say what you want about the others. You look at Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Yeah, you go down the line. The Usos, Riddle, others. You know, people make it seem like Vince McMahon was 1,000% out of touch. And that's just not the case. So now with Triple H, we hope that he can take some of these stars to the next level. You know, but let's not give Triple H a blank, you know, a broad brush and a blank piece of paper. This guy's been in WWE for 20-something years. People try to portray to you that he's an outsider. People are trying to portray to you that his mindset is totally different than WWE. Yeah, he uses the word wrestling. People were making a big deal yesterday because Drew McIntyre said the word hospital. I don't give a fuck about words. I care about content. I care about presentation. I care about suspension and disbelief. I care about storyline. I care about a lot of other things. Last week, people are gushing. Oh, WWE, now they're fine. Triple H is finally doing right for Ricochet. Finally, Ricochet getting the time. Yeah, that was WrestleMania party yesterday. You know, Triple H is not going to be perfect. No one is perfect. God is not even perfect. But, you know, let's keep it in a little bit of reality. You cannot take every wrestler that you hated the way Vince McMahon used them and abused them. And now because Triple H is at the helm, now, oh no, everything is better now. Everything is good. Everything is wonderful. Only time will tell that. All I know is Raquel Gonzalez still does her best impersonation of Chris Van Vliet. You know, I mean, she is happy, and that persona reflects actually her private life more than you realize. But everybody who's bitching, complaining about the smiling and everything else, you know, that hasn't changed. So now, I don't know if you heard about the news. I used this graphic for today's show. I was going to save it for Monday, but we talked about this 3 weeks ago, that it's going to be really interesting to see what Triple H does with the 24/7 championship. And you see that it's not being defended. It's not, they're not chasing everybody around like a bad Benny Hill skit. And now the sausage coming out is that Triple H may scrap the title. That's not based on inside sources. That's based on the fact that nothing has happened with the 24/7 title over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But I will tell you this, because I got a lot of sausage for you this weekend. Right now, WWE is deciding which way to go with the 24/7 title. There's two ways. Yes, today's show is brought to you by today's shirt, Manscaped. We'll plug it in a little bit. Definitely go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DON'TTRIP. I don't know where they got that from. I thought it was Don, but then I was like, okay, Don T, rip. Rip what? Rip something? Okay, rip a new asshole. Or is it don't trip because I fell down a flight of stairs a couple of weeks ago? Maybe somebody from Manscaped thought that was funny. Fuck you, Manscaped. I fell down a flight of stairs, but guess what? If I would have had to go to the hospital and I didn't have boxer shorts on, at least I know that I didn't have the cornfields down there because I used the crop exfoliator. I used the razor, the shaver, the mower, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. We'll plug Manscaped in a little bit. But, you know, the 24/7 title right now, WWE is contemplating which way to go with it. And one of the decisions is not going back to the same Benny Hill antics. Sure, you could possibly see that once in a blue moon. But right now, WWE is deciding which way to go with the 24/7 title. One way that they could go with it, and I can't use Booker T, but I could use my Triple H voice. Hold on. Okay. I had to make sure that that was available. You know, what did Booker T say back at that time? We want all the gold. Dana Brooke, R-Truth, Tozawa, we're coming for you. Then after that, we want the gold. 24/7, we're coming for you. You didn't actually think I was going to say the fucking word. You're crazy. So either they're going to scrap the 24/7 title entirely, or they're going to use it for promotional purposes. Not like AEW with the All Atlantic title. You know, when Pac is in overseas and when people bitch, oh, why isn't Pac on Dynamite? What the fuck, man? We see him once every 8 weeks. Oh, no, no, no. He's defending the All Atlantic Championship and blah, blah, stand. You know, that's, no, no. They're, WWE right now is thinking about using the 24/7 title also outside of wrestling as almost an advertising tool, as promotional. That you see Gronk getting the title. You might see someone in ESPN pin someone and get the title. We had Peter Rosenberg once become 24/7 champion. So we may see that championship float around in other aspects of entertainment just for promotional purposes. So, you know, look, if they do that, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. It's novelty. It's a novelty. We don't take it seriously. You know, and speaking of taking titles seriously, I got to just say this. And I, listen, I have nothing against the kid. I have nothing against the title. But Tony Khan, isn't it about time you stop with the fucking idea that the FTW title is not a recognized title? You're having it defended. You're having announcers calling the matches. You're having referees calling, counting the matches. You're having promo segments. Next week, Hook is taking on Zach Clayton. You know, it's like, can we just stop with the fuck? You got 95 belts in your company. Stop with, you know, oh, this is an unrecognized. It is a fucking recognized. It is a recognized title. If you recognize it and you put it on your show and you keep putting it on your show and you have it defended and you have promos and you have matches and you have advertisements, it's a fucking recognized title. Stop being so stupid. Stop being, that was cool in the 90s. When Taz showed up in storyline, that he created his own title, Fuck the World. You know, that's different. All right, you did it early on. Team Taz is no more. Stop with this bullshit that it's not a recognized title. Just my opinion. By the way, we could segue into this, and then we'll get into some results. You know, it's going to be a little bit quicker show today. Tomorrow we have the sit-down, which is going to be completely interactive. Don't forget the Q&A we postponed it, rescheduled it to Tuesday. So this way we could get some extra questions in. And shout out to everybody who was in the watch party yesterday. Yesterday was crazy here because you all know that my wedding is coming up in a couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm on the phone with a minister yesterday. I'm on the phone with this place. And, you know, it just, things got a little bit crazy. And it's going to be like that for the next couple of weeks. But I know everybody had a great time yesterday. But let me tell you something else that's going down right now with Tony Khan. And this is not criticism, but he's a very smart man if he stays in his lane now. Because, look, people are rehashing. There's an interesting dynamic going on right now. Guys, gals, look and pay attention to the loudest noise on social media. Journalists, podcasts, some Uber fans, you know, whack jobs. Pay attention to the loudest of noise. One thing you have seen in the last 3 years, and I've brought this up before, and I always do this. I know I look like a chicken, But I always do this, and there's a lot of people out there, and we'll get back to Hit Row when we get into the SmackDown results, but they want to rub elbows, and their best shot is AEW. It's a new company. For some podcasters out there, they would love to get an opportunity to maybe do an interview segment, a backstage segment, maybe get hired, maybe get a little bit of press interviews, whatever. Just rub elbows. And some people went over the top giving Tony Khan, AEW, hand jobs. Hand jobs to the point that, you know, we had sores. It was pretty, you know, the God memes, the pictures, we've seen it all. And why? Not only because it was a brand new company, but because it was the renegade, the opposite of Vince McMahon, the opposite of the publicly traded company, the one that employs Kevin Dunn, the one that employed John Laurinaitis, the one where wrestlers were not happy, that wrestlers were being released in droves. Tony Khan, I would never do that to my wrestlers. I would just let their contracts expire because I am great. And that was fine for a couple of years, but now Vince McMahon couldn't keep his penis in his pants outside of his marriage and just decided to run roughshod. And because he's got money, you know, he got away with it. Plain and simple. I brought this up. I don't know if you realize this. You want to hear something? I don't have the exact number in front of me. Go and check the WWE stock over the last 30 days. Do you know when people talk about Vince McMahon paid out $20 million to women? Do you know in the last 30 days, Vince McMahon has made over $200 million in the stock market? $200 million. Does anybody talk about that? No. No. So when you hear about the $20 million, you know, and you hear about these payouts from 07, 09, 05, 03, whatever it is it really surprising for you, for older fans out there? Is this really surprising? When we used to talk about Tanzibar and we used to talk about some of the other things, you know, did anybody in their right mind actually? No, it's because we're in the snowflake age and we're in this cancel culture age and everybody has got to act shocked, surprised, dismayed, taken back, offended, you know, oh my God, isn't that? And why do you think like Bret Hart doesn't, you know, think much of it? Chris Jericho doesn't, you know, is kind of surprised about it because everybody that was around it knew exactly what they were dealing with. Yeah, it sucks, but that is the world of billion-dollar people. They get away with things that most of us cannot. What if you go manipulate someone and you're married or something like that, or you have a business and you don't want to be embarrassed? What are you going to do? Hey, I'll give you $100. You shut up. You know, we don't have that kind of coin to get away with that. So for 3 years, Tony Khan, AEW, Renegade, anti-WWE, this sucks. Look at their writing. They keep changing the script. This is awful stuff. How could you watch that? This, that. Now that argument is gone because now Triple H, the one who everybody deemed as a victim, is now the head of creative. And because of all of those pictures of him pointing to NXT stars over the last couple of years, they think Triple H is one of the boys. This is not the old man Vince. This is not the out-of-touch Vince. This is not the argument, you know, the sexual abuser. You know, this is Triple H. One of us. One of the guys. One of the boys. He's looking out for the boys. Well, he's looking out for the investors, the stockholders, the advertisers, before anything else. So now everybody online, WWE is no longer this anti-evil, out of touch, run by white billionaires. It is no longer that. Even though that's still true because Vince owns 28 million shares in stock. The board of directors are still mostly white billionaires. The only thing that has really changed in a lot of people's eyes is Triple H, head of creative. You know, so now Tony Khan has got to be worried. Tony Khan's got to be worried. Let me tell you why. Do I think AEW is going to go out of business anytime? No. I keep getting asked that question. No, AEW will be fine. But where Tony Khan has to be worried is for 3 years he poked the bear. And a lot of people online poked the bear also. And a lot of people online, every time Tony Khan kept poking the bear, when his finger started to get a little bit sore, they would massage his finger. Please poke some more. Poke some more. Boss, God, poke some more. So now you have Matt Hardy saying that Triple H heading creative is a game changer. Now you see Hit Row brought back. Now you have Karrion Kross and Scarlett being used the way we wanted them to be used when they came to the main roster. Now you hear rumblings that we may see Nash Carter get a second chance and reform with MSK, one of the brightest tag teams of tomorrow in a lot of people's eyes. Now you see Bobby Fish in a very high-profile position in AEW saying that he would go to war with Triple H 7 days a week. What Tony Khan is now starting to see is what Dixie Carter started to realize many, many years ago. I will never forget their hardcore, you know, pay-per-view that they did. And I remember at the end of the show, a fan had a sign that said, "Fuck you, Vince." And Dixie Carter was surrounded by Bully Ray and a bunch of ECW guys. And they were all yelling at the camera, "Fuck you, Vince." Yeah, "fuck you, Vince." And it was glaring because I remember on my podcast at that time, I said, Dixie Carter doesn't realize this is strictly a business. She may think everybody could call her Aunt Dixie. She may feel that because they're come off as an extended family, that the wrestlers would want to stay. Nice environment, lot of fun. That they wouldn't just pick up and go. And some wrestlers that she never thought would ever leave left. She thought she, you know, like Hulk Hogan really cared about TNA. You know, that when the contract was coming to an end, we're in the middle of a storyline. She thought she was going to get a freebie or two. Brother, I know, brother. Blah, blah, blah. Dixie Carter realized very quickly from AJ Styles to Christian and everyone else that this is a business. And Tony Khan is now hearing people on his roster saying, this is great for all wrestling. This is great for the business. Triple H, Tony Khan, they both have the pulse on wrestling. Do you actually think Tony Khan wants WWE to have this positive momentum? When he announced Rampage and he announced other, he said that we want to get those wrestling fans that are disenfranchised, that have fallen out of love with pro wrestling. And I brought this up before. CM Punk made a comment last year. He didn't think there was all these wrestling fans just sitting on the sidelines waiting for an alternative. And a lot of AEW fans and some curious WWE fans tuned in and saw CM Punk's AEW debut on Rampage. And now their ratings are 20% of what it used to be. So do you think Tony Khan wants his own talent to say, this is great for business, this is great for fans, competition is good? That works when you talk about WWE in a negative sense. When WWE, and everybody said that WWE had monopolized wrestling, took over and capitalized wrestling. When you had NWA TNA coming up in 2002, when you heard AEW being launched a couple of years ago, when you heard rumblings about other things going on, wrestlers would say, oh, this is great for business. Competition is good. Competition makes everybody step up. You think WWE wanted to hear that? No, they're a $1 billion company. They don't want to make room for a company to come in and take some of their business. You think investors in WWE are like, you know what, AEW, they could have a little piece of the pie. That's not how this corporate world works. If there's a pie and it's cut into 8 slices, the WWE investors want to eat all eight slices. They're not going to turn around and say, you know what, let's give two slices to Tony. You know, because it's a good thing for everybody. It feels good. I don't give a shit about that. So this is the opposite. This is the opposite now. You had in the past wrestlers talking about competition against the billion-dollar publicly traded company that monopolized wrestling, that just cornered the pro. Now you're doing it towards Tony Khan. And how they hide it is by trying to put Tony Khan and Triple H in the same sentence. Triple H, Tony Khan, they have the pulse of what's going on in wrestling. So that's supposed to appease Tony Khan. But Matt Hardy also said that Triple H at the helm gives opportunity for wrestlers, some wrestlers to come back. Do you think Tony Khan wants to have a roster of wrestlers that he signed away from the evil, out-of-date, alleged sexual abuser? You know, Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, Kevin Dunn, John Laurinaitis. You think he wants those wrestlers to think, oh man, I can't wait to come back. So now Tony Khan is forced to pet the bear. No longer poking the bear. He's got to pet the bear. He's got to hope that if the bear shows up in his campground, and I don't mean physically, he's got to hope that the bear is like, you know, I'm full. I don't feel like eating you today. You know, we could coexist. You know, you can have that garbage pail of rotten meat over there. You know, I'm good. He's petting that bear. Oh, I see there wrestling has been better. It's going to be really interesting. But as far as this overly gushing for Triple H, look, remember this. We'll move on. Remember this. For a year and a half, people were trying to convince you that Triple H was being erased of his legacy, that he was a clown, that he had no authority in WWE anymore, that they were getting rid of everything he liked. Did you ever take a step back and say that WWE, billion-dollar company, didn't want wrestlers getting paid that kind of money that were only drawing 600,000-700,000 viewers, came to the main roster and were totally indifferent? Yes, it was WWE's fault for not using Cross the right way. Yes, it was WWE's fault to making Keith Lee into a bear cat. Yes, it's WWE's fault. But when you own the fucking company, you have every right to do what you want. If I own a pizzeria and I want to add an extra ingredient and it sucks, everybody could say, you know, it's a mistake. You shouldn't be putting that ingredient here. Shut up. I can do whatever I want. I own the business. When people start complaining and people start wanting to leave to go to the other pizzeria, then obviously I may have to change the way I do things. So, sure, WWE, but at the end of the day, everything they told you about the treatment of Triple H was a lie. It was a complete lie. Shawn Michaels did an interview, I think, with Bleacher Report. And I have the quote right here. He did an interview with Bleacher Report. This was a day ago. And they talked about NXT 2.0 launching last year. Do you remember those very same people that said that Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard went in and started doing all the creative for NXT 2.0? This is Shawn Michaels' exact words. When Hunter first left, it became all me. And certainly from a TV standpoint, Matt Bloom is a head coach and takes care of everything from the PC training standpoint. But when it came to NXT 2.0 television, that's something myself and my team took over creatively. I know a lot of people thought Vince and Bruce were doing this. I could promise you, they did not have time to do NXT television. See, this goes back to what I've been saying for years. These people online say all this shit because they know Vince McMahon is not going to go on a certain person's Twitter account and call them out for it. You're not going to see Stephanie McMahon. You're not going to see Bruce Pritchard, Triple H, or anyone else. Shawn Michaels. They're not going to go on someone's YouTube show and in the comment section saying, you know, what you're reporting is not true. They don't give a fuck. They don't care about dirt sheets. They know what's true and what's not true. And they'll let it sit there and they'll let it steam and they'll let it develop. And meanwhile, because you hear 15 places tell you this, you believe it. You believe it. You have 15 different people telling you something. Yesterday, you had 15 people saying that, oh, that it appears that WWE is going to bring back Hit Row, but they're not bringing back BFAB. They're not bringing back BFAB. This, this, and that. And they all got it wrong. But 15, because everybody cuts and pastes each other. So remember, when you see what you're seeing now, just think back to the last year and a half and every fucking thing that they told you that was wrong, that was false, because they know that there is no one in WWE that's going to call them out on it. An individual wrestler may call someone out on it, but no one else is. See, like the Drew McIntyre music, all right? Reports were going around yesterday. Fightful reported that they may bring back Drew McIntyre's old music. Fightful called those people out and said it was wrong. What's the big deal out of that? Well, they had to credit some news source in order to make it a news source. You know, how do you report news? If you don't have the exclusive and you're not sure, you have to credit somebody. So they credited Fightful and it was not true. You know where they got that from? Drew McIntyre, a day or two ago, wrote a sentence on his social media and it was a line from his old theme song. So they read the tweet and they immediately thought, oh my God, he's bringing back the old song. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's not even news. It's not even news. So, all right. Okay. So, it's going to be really interesting the next 6 months. What happens with some of these characters on TV? I am very excited to see Hit Row back. They put on a performance yesterday against two enhancement talents, Brandon Scott and Trevor. They got the win. They cut a little bit of a promo. Nice to see them back on TV. One appearance is not going to change the overall landscape. You know, we're still looking at, you know, the vicious Viking Raiders. I don't know where that's going, but I'm very hopeful that this will develop into something really good. And I'll tell you something else that's pretty cute. All right, we could leave it on for a minute or two. Isaiah Swerve Scott, now Swerve Strickland in AEW. Yesterday, there was a lot of weird tweets towards Swerve Strickland about Hit Row once they appeared on SmackDown. Now, Lascelles, thank you very much for the 20 spot. He also saw the disrespect towards Swerve on Friday after Hit Row came back, but he's still curious. I'm still curious, DT. Now with Triple H heading up WWE, do you think Swerve regrets signing with AEW? All right. Now, that is an honest, legit question. But I don't know if you paid attention, everyone, the last 12 hours, 16 hours, whatever it is. I watched person after person who claim to have always been fans of Hit Row, throw in such disrespectful shade towards Swerve Strickland, and I'll tell you why. Swerve Strickland right now is the AEW tag team champion. Yes, today is the 1 month anniversary of their win, and their first month has been a joke. Not their fault, the way AEW and Tony Khan has used them. They talk, they talk, they talk. We saw a pie go into a person's face. It's fucking awful to do it on SmackDown, but it's okay because it's Mark Sterling and it's AEW. Don't forget, we had a storyline a month ago where Sterling, Mark Sterling, had a petition going around in the locker room that if he gets enough signatures, Swerve would be fired from AEW, and he only needed one more signature, and he went to Orange Cassidy, and Orange Cassidy said, I need to consult with my lawyer, And Danhausen walks in.
Oh, I have an idea. You have Tony Nese take on Orange Cassidy. And if he loses Orange, then he will sign the petition. And Swerve will be gone from AEW.
And if Tony Nese loses, nothing happens. Guys, honestly, that is the fucking stupidest storyline of the year in wrestling. That is awful. And it got a complete pass. None of this is Swerve's fault. But he is at least one half of the tag team champions. And people are clowning him. Oh, Swerve must be kicking himself in the ass for leaving WWE, for signing with AEW. Do people forget? He got fired from WWE. What is he supposed to do? Just sit and work indies and cross his fingers and rap and hope that when Vince dies, that maybe Triple H got... Did anybody ever think that Vince truly would have to step down? How does anybody at all online make fun of Swerve? If you're a fan of Hit Row, you should be happy that every fucking member has presence on TV once again. But to turn around and to clown Swerve saying that, oh, he must regret signing with AEW. Oh, he feels stupid and he could be in WWE right now. What the fuck does that mean? And what was he supposed to do? Podcast, like a lot of other people out there? Game? You know, what is he supposed to do for a living in the meantime? It's like when you really pull this back, you realize how asinine those comments were. Now, could he regret signing with AEW? Possibly. But that's what happens in life. You're looking for a job. You get let go of your other job. You go on Monster. You go on the newspapers. You look around for a job. You find a job. You take the job. You go to training. And then a couple of months later, you get an alert on your email that some other company is looking for a position and you fit it perfectly. What are you supposed to do? Just collect unemployment until it's so stupid. Most of these people online, when I see dumb shit written like that, the first thing I do is I go on their profile and I say, I want to see what they do for a living. And most of the time, they don't list it. So Swerve could regret signing because Triple H is now in position. But there is nothing else he could have done at the time because there was never a guarantee that Hit Row would have been brought back. Period. So when Swerve's contract is up in AEW, yeah, he could end up in WWE. There's quite a few people that left WWE, whether on their own accord, like Adam Cole and others, and there are others who were let go. They had no choice. They were fired. And now with Triple H at the helm, if you loved working for that person, why wouldn't you want to come back? It's a different environment. See, that culture in WWE has changed. In due time, you'll see websites. Oh, my sources backstage says that the vibe in WWE has never been better. Oh, he's got a lot of sources. It's common sense. So could Swerve regret it a little bit? Sure. But he did not make the wrong decision signing with AEW. And he's a tag team champion right now, and he's trying to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad. They have treated their tag team title reign awful. Awful. It's not Swerve's fault. It's not Keith Lee's fault. But no, I mean, you can't look at this a couple of months later and say, oh, this person should have did this. This person should have did this. This person should have waited. Now this person regrets it. Now this is you can't. That's not the way life works. That's not the way employment works. You know, you get a job and then another opportunity comes up. You know, if you're committed to that job, no, you make the best of it. And if an opportunity comes up down the line, then you take it. And what happens if, you know, I'm curious to see if there's rumors. And look, I will bet you anything. I will bet you the farm. Within the next month, you're going to have some news reports. They're going to come out and say that several people, our sources tell us, several people within AEW have asked Tony Khan to be let out of their contract early. Guarantee you. I will bet you anything you want to bet. Within the next month, you will have websites that'll start reporting that. Several wrestlers who wish to be named anonymous, our sources tell us that they have asked Tony Khan to be released early out of their contract. That is not the climate that Tony Khan wants in that company. Eric Williams, shout out to you. Thank you for the five spot. Who's the first to jump ship from AEW to WWE? Someone whose contract expires. I mean, you know, you can't immediately assume. You know, look at Roderick Strong. Look at Roderick Strong. We do the watch parties every Tuesday. We have fun with Roderick Strong. We like Roderick Strong. I'm a fan of Roderick Strong. But he is the most unintimidating, legit wrestler in WWE, period. If I walk down, I said it on Wednesday, if I walk down a dark alley in the middle of the night and here's Roddy Strong with the sweatsuit and the hood over his head, and he came up to me and he said to me, "Give me your money. Come on, give me your money. Oh, come on. Give me your money or I'm going to choke you out. Come on." He talks like Marina Shafir of Wrestles. And does it feel like Roddy Strong's NXT career is totally changed? You know, no. It's the same vibe. Triple H, you know, doesn't run NXT anymore, but he oversees everything. You know, not everybody is going to be perfect. But does it feel like Roddy Strong? Oh, now I want to stay. Now with Triple H, now I want to stay. So wrestlers in AEW, you know, understand a lot of these wrestlers are getting paid nicely. They're getting paid nicely. But some other wrestlers lower on the food chain are not getting as much opportunity. So when you ask me, who do I think is the first person to jump ship? I don't have any particular name in mind. But I will say this, outside of somebody's contract just ending, I think it's going to be people lower on the food chain who are not being utilized anywhere near what we expected them to be. You know, someone like Pac or Miro or others, they're committed for a little while and they get paid pretty well. And believe me when I tell you, you think Miro, now he may be a little bit bored. He's got his hot wife at home. He got video games. He got other opportunities. Do you think he's that frustrated that for 5 out of the last 6 weeks, all he does is talk on TV with sunglasses?
The Redeemer! The Redeemer! I must kill the pagans!
You realize you threatened the pagans for 6 weeks? If this was the 1600s, your head would have been not only decapitated by now, but your flesh would have rotted away from the buzzards because of this much time go by. Imagine calling out the pagans, and the pagans have 6 weeks to prepare for you. I mean, it's a joke. But some of these wrestlers are getting paid so well, like, hey, keep paying me. As long as I keep getting paid, that's all that matters. You know, some wrestlers left for mental peace of mind as well. I think Johnny Gargano has an excellent chance to return to WWE. But let me say one last thing with this. You're going to see wrestlers still sign with AEW. I mean, you look at yesterday. You know me. I have always sung the praise of this guy. AEW just signed Parker Boudreaux. That's a guy that I am a big fan of. I don't make it a secret. I talked about it on Wednesday. Yes, it's too soon for him to be in that trios titles tournament, but the man has been working his goddamn ass off. Now he's being rewarded for it. Now, can some of you say, that maybe Tony Khan is jumping the gun, doing this a little quickly because he's afraid that Triple H may bring him back? Sure, sure. You may actually see some names now sign to All Elite deals. This may force Tony Khan to actually sign some people. Remember, you had some wrestlers that were on AEW television for over a year that were not under contract. So you may actually see other names now becoming All Elite because Tony Khan is nervous that some people will get up and go back to WWE. That's why even the former guy, Two Dimes, you see what they're doing with Two Dimes right now. Like, they really think, you know, oh, if we don't keep him and don't utilize him, you know, maybe not right now, but down the line, he possibly could go back. So, but it's going to be people lower on the food chain or if somebody's contract runs out. So, Chris Cutra, regardless of what anyone thinks about the talent, Hunter's brought back. He thinks at least he deserves credit for trying to do the right thing by people not given a decent chance by the previous regime. He didn't have to bring them back. You are absolutely right, but there's one aspect that you left out. You never bring someone in because it's the right thing to do. You bring someone in because you think that they have worth. I think everyone out there, whether you adore Triple H, whether you're sitting and waiting to see, taking a wait and see approach, remember the interview he did with Stephen A. Smith. Remember, some people online called Triple H a liar because Vince was still running the show. They called Triple H a liar about that interview because what did Triple H say? That NXT going back to its roots, developmental, was already always in the cards, and then COVID kind of blindsided everybody. And he said that there's always going to be turnaround. He said that the roster a year from now will not be the roster it is here. There's always going to be turnaround. You get 6 months, whatever it is, and if you don't deliver, there's going to be turnover. So he said that to Stephen A. Smith, and people called him a liar. So now what happens 6 months from now, 9 months from now, some of these wrestlers, if they're not panning out, you think Triple H is going to turn around and say, look, you know, we brought back, look, I'm not saying this about Hit Row, I'm just using an example. Oh, look, we brought back Hit Row and it's just not clicking, man. It's just not, you know, the fans are just not into it. You think he's going to turn around and say, no, we got to keep him. It's the right thing to do. No, this is a $1 billion publicly traded entertainment company. If people do not deliver, they will be released. So Triple H, you give him credit for bringing back hope and giving a climate where everybody feels at minimum. This is the most important thing about Triple H right now. Everyone remember this comment. The most important aspect of Triple H in creative right now for wrestlers is one thing, that now every wrestler believes they will be given an opportunity to show why they should be a player in WWE. Everybody will get an opportunity. Some will get more opportunity than others, but you will get a chance to go out there, show what you got, say what you got, and they get the chance. That is something that Cross wanted back in the day. That's something that a lot of people, you know, remember when I used to say to you guys, when WWE was letting go 50, 60 people 2 years ago, 80 people a year after, and yet people were still signing. Remember when Roxy signed with WWE. This was right shortly after a bunch of releases. And you remember everyone saying, anybody that signs with WWE, you got to be stupid. You got to be a moron. You got to be this. How could you sign with a company and just let go 150 people? This is that, that, that. And when she signed, everybody kept their fucking mouth shut. Everybody that signs with WWE knows what they're getting themselves into. But with Triple H, people have more confidence that they will be given the opportunity. Not promise something and then WWE not delivering. So I personally think with the Lacey Evans stuff, I don't know how Lacey Evans, this is not news, but I don't know Lacey Evans as a, you know, member of our armed forces who has fought for this country and as maybe too drawn out as her segments were, they were real, and I respect that. I don't know if Lacey Evans truly wanted to be a heel with that character. I don't know if Lacey Evans embraced it, said, oh, I love it, or if Lacey Evans, because Vince, Bruce, and all of them pitched the idea that Lacey Evans said, yeah, I'll go with it because I'm a team player. I'll do it. So now I say to myself, okay, Lacey Evans has not been on TV. We heard originally that there might have been an injury, but the thing is, there's no mention whatsoever. And I'm wondering if she, I wonder if Triple H had a conversation with her and said, do you want to do this character? You know, how do you feel? You know, if you had a choice, would you rather be this? Or would you rather be the female Sergeant Slaughter? I'm very curious to see how Lacey Evans is brought back to television. And if she's brought back to television, I'm not saying that she's going to be released. I'm not saying that. I don't think that at all. But my point is that it's going to be interesting to see how that is handled going forward. So, all right, James Edward with the 10th spot. He has to ask, because he heard another podcaster talk about this the other day. But with Triple H in charge, do you think Velveteen Dream could be brought back? Boy, James, I, there's no secret that I have gone to bat for Velveteen Dream like no one else. I mean, I even got some DMs of appreciation back then, you know, because of it. And I was just realistic about the situation. When I was telling everyone that Triple H and WWE sent his phone out to outside forensics to see if you can't just delete it and it disappears forever, they actually sent it, just like WWE sent the investigation of Vince to an outside company. That's what WWE does. They don't do things in-house, because if they do it in-house and there's a mistake, doesn't look good. You see, this $5 million or some of Vince's payouts should have been coded a certain way. That was WWE's mistake. And it didn't look good on WWE's part. And they fixed it. WWE sends things out. And they did that with Velveteen Dream. And guess what? It came back clear. Cancel culture would not accept that. It went from that night when the people who accused him, I still remember clear as day, that night, those people said, look, he might have been hacked. Let's wait and see what Velveteen Dream said. Maybe he was hacked. Velveteen Dream comes out and says, I didn't send those texts. And you know what they said? You're a liar. You're a liar. And then what did they do? They exaggerated it, and they tried to take a little dissect. Because he asked someone, what school did you go to? That's it. Pedophile, convicted, go to jail. How dare you ask anyone, what school do you go to? Imagine Sasha Banks doing an autograph signing, you know, and she has a little kid there, 12 years old. Oh, you know, oh, I live, you know, in so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I go to second grade, fifth grade. Oh, what school do you go to? You know, it's innocent. She's just asking in conversation. Velveteen Dream's mistake was, I'm tired. I can't sleep. Let me chat with wrestling fans at 3 o'clock in the morning. So now you do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I'm an aspiring wrestler. I still go to school. And they say, what school do you go to? Oh, he wants to see that kid naked. Nobody would accept the truth. It had to be one answer and one answer only. And unfortunately, those damages have not been repaired. No, I do not believe Triple H should bring back Velveteen Dream anytime soon. I think if Velveteen Dream wants to remain in wrestling, he's got to get his name out there, and he's got to do it for promoters that are going to take the heat, because cancel culture will keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up, even though there is no proof, and everybody ignores that the forensics came back clear. You didn't have a burner phone. You didn't have one of these prepaid phones. You didn't have any of that. You had one fucking phone. And they did forensics and they found nothing. But no one would accept that because they had to crucify Velveteen Dream. So me as a fan, I'd love to see Velveteen Dream back. Controversial character, I'd love to see it. I don't think Triple H brings him back. One thing I wanted to tell you about Hit Row before. As you can see, we're having a conversation today. You all know what went down with SmackDown. I mean, we'll give some quick results. Something that happened yesterday with Cross and Drew McIntyre, that I was like, that was stupid. And I know what you're saying right now, DT, what are you talking about? Hear me out. I'm going to say something on this show today that I guarantee you not one person, you find me one person on Twitter that wrote what I'm about to say. Maybe I'll give away a shirt. Any promotion. One last thing about the Hit Row stuff. This is what I thought was cute too. Yesterday, because Swerve obviously cannot go back to WWE right now, people were giving ideas who should be the leader of Hit Row. And they were all going to AJ Francis, and they were bringing up Carmelo Hayes. They were bringing up Trick Williams. They were bringing up other people. And AJ Francis, man, you look at my tweet history, I fucking love that guy. Because that guy, you know, he doesn't always look at everything with color. He will look out, you know, but not everything is about color. He went on Twitter yesterday and he told everyone, he's like, look, everybody, stop giving us your black ideas of who should be the leader of Hit Row. We're not hiring right now. And I was like, that guy's got it, because you're looking to entertain an entire audience and just a black audience. Yes, I know you think of hip hop, you think of the group, you think, okay, everybody should be black. I understand why people think that, but he put people right in his place. But just a reminder, everyone, Hit Row may not be hiring right now, but don't forget, Maximum Male Models are. I have not sent in an application. Unless I'm going to model a girdle or something. They were back on SmackDown yesterday, and Los Lotharios hitting on Maxine. And, you know, that's probably going to be the first feud. We'll probably see Massé and Monsoir versus Los Lotharios. Now, remember the storyline that we may ultimately have Maxine push her brother Max out of Maximum Male Models. So could we see the return of Eli Drake? It's possible. I don't think there's any rush for it right now, because at least he's in a storyline and people seem to be into the Maximum Male Model stuff. So there's no rush to change that around. I do know for a fact that Triple H does see value in LA Knight, Max Dupri wrestling. So we will see something soon. Model as deli man. Yeah. Model as deli man. Yesterday, we had a tremendous, tremendous match. Gunther retaining the Intercontinental Championship over Shinsuke Nakamura. Excellent main event. You know, didn't go an hour, but it really gave its time. They just put on a performance. And, you know, remember something, everyone. you know, it, great wrestling is not the answer just to revive WWE. There's a lot of other things as well. But the fact that they're doing the vignettes now, showcasing the history of the titles, you know, that goes to show you that WWE under Triple H is creative, wants to make the titles feel even more important, you know. And that's why I think if Drew McIntyre does win this belt, with the, well, both belts at Clash at the Castle, I think, you know, it's going to feel bigger than even if Brock Lesnar would have defeated Roman Reigns for the championship. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but I really do believe that. I think it's going to feel like such a huge moment. And my God, when you see 70,000 plus losing their shit of Drew McIntyre winning, you know, that makes Drew McIntyre a made man. Now, next week, we're going to have a face-to-face between these two in Montreal, and we'll probably see Karrion Kross get involved in this in some capacity. Now, little sausage. You're not reading this anywhere else, but I'm just throwing sausage out there right now. WWE is considering having Karrion Kross take it to the extreme. Karrion Kross may face the winner of Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules. So keep that on the brain. Karrion Kross will not be put in the match at Clash at the Castle. Get that out of your head. I know a lot of people were thinking three-way. It ain't happening. They will keep it Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns. Whoever comes out of that, which I still think could be Drew McIntyre, they likely will take on Karrion Kross at Extreme Rules. Now, check this out. This is the updated banner for Clash at the Castle. I like what they did with that title, but no, I do not believe that they're doing a Roddy Piper version of the title where one half of it is one color and one half is the other color. They have Roman in the background with still both titles in his, on his shoulders. That's just because they don't have enough room to put both belts there. So they put half blue, half black just to represent that it's two titles. German lady, good. I don't know if it's good. Happy Sunday. Wow. So let me guess, you're in Germany. Happy Sunday to you. Here it's Saturday afternoon, but hope you're having a good weekend. But yeah, that is the new banner for Clash at the Castle. I think it's going to be a pretty good night. I mean, I don't mean to keep bringing up my personal stuff. You know, I'm just excited about it. But September 3rd is going to be a pretty fucking good night, I think. Because right around the time I say I do, I think Drew McIntyre may say I won. So I'm kind of like, you know, I can't cover the event that night, but I should be home on the 4th. So maybe we'll do a recap on the 4th. So, but so that's the new banner. That's the new banner. But Kross versus the winner of that match at Clash at the Castle will could happen at Extreme Rules. Keep that in the back of your mind. All right. This is the updated brackets for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. And yesterday, Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah advanced. You could see that this tournament is beyond predictable. Because Monday, we will have Alexa Bliss and Asuka taking on Nikki Ash and Doudrop. I think we all know that Alexa Bliss and Asuka will advance. And on the flip side, I tell you, you know, this match might be the one that surprises me more than anything. I would love to see Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark advance, but I don't see it. You know, there's only one thing stopping me about this. That match happens after Heat Wave. It happens after Heat Wave. So Zoe Stark would have taken on Mandy Rose already. If this match would have went down prior to Heat Wave, I could have seen Mandy Rose show up, cost Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons the match. But I still believe, when I did my prediction, I still believe that Nikita Lyons is going to be your next NXT Women's Champion. So as much as I would love to see Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark advance, I feel like somebody has to come out and cause them to lose. So we could very well end up with Natalya and Sonya Deville taking on Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah. And you know Natalya will make Aaliyah look like $1 million. Sonya Deville and Raquel Rodriguez, they have a little bit of a history. And then on the opposite side, you know, I think the match everybody is going to be curious to see, Io Sky and Dakota Kai, they'll probably prevail over Alexa Bliss and Asuka. So then you go down to the finals. I think the finals could very well be Io Sky and Dakota Kai versus Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah. That's interesting to put Aaliyah in a spot like that. I don't see them winning. I think Sky and Kai are your next women's tag team champions. And then if Sasha Banks and Naomi do return, they have to return as babyfaces. They have to return as babyfaces. And they will feud with Sky and Kai, and maybe we get a unification match. Not at Extreme Rules. You know what? It could, but I don't even know. You can't even have You can't even have a unification match because Banks and Naomi, Sasha and Naomi, gave up the titles. You give up the titles, that doesn't mean they still have them, so they're not champions. They can proclaim themselves still as champion, that they never lost the titles. But, you know, they would compete for the title. They would not represent the champions. You know, if I win something and I give it up, you know, I no longer want anything. You know, so. All right. On Monday, we will talk a little bit about the WrestleMania 39 party that they had in Los Angeles. I have some notes. We'll get into it Monday because it's already a little bit late today. On Monday, though, also, we're going to get a match. First time ever. I never realized that these two guys never faced off against each other. AJ Styles will be getting a title shot against Bobby Lashley. Now, I think it's pretty obvious that we'll probably see Miz and Ciampa get involved in some capacity. But we have a U.S. title match on Monday. Bobby Lashley defending against AJ Styles. On Monday, we have the tournament match, as I said, Alexa Bliss and Asuka versus Doudrop and Nikki Ash. Doudrop did an interview a couple of days ago, and she talked about that there's been discussions of WWE changing her name, just to let you know. Doesn't mean that they will, but if you remember the sausage we brought up about a month ago, her name, Theory, may get his first name back, that WWE may actually tweak some of the wrestlers' names, so we'll see. Riddle will do an interview on Monday, and you know Seth Rollins will be there as well. So yesterday on SmackDown, I don't know if you all noticed it, it's funny because people made such a big deal about the ratings changing for WWE programming. And I don't know if it's because we were the only ones for an hour to talk about it that, you know, because you see how it goes. We throw sausage out there, everybody becomes fucking silent. Do you ever notice that? Whenever we put sausage out there, you never see anyone out there claim a news story saying the same thing. Some people will give me credit for it, but whenever we throw sausage out there, no one ever goes ahead and tries to claim news saying the same thing. So yesterday I noticed something right at the beginning of SmackDown. Did you notice it too? This. Did you notice it? I saw it immediately and I said, whoa. I don't recall DLSV on the Fox ratings for WWE SmackDown. So for those that don't know, yesterday on SmackDown, when the opening intro happened, you know, then, now, forever, woo! They always show the ratings graphic, and it's usually TVPG, and it'll say V for violence. Yesterday, we had TVPG, and they put D, for suggestive dialogue. L, for coarse language. S, for sexual situations. And V, for violence. Now, remember what I said about TV-14. When you have TV-14, it doesn't necessarily mean you are going to be TV-14, because there have been many episodes of Rampage over the last 2 months that aren't remotely TV-14, but it's still rated TV-14. TV-14 gives you extra room to do things when needed. So I asked you yesterday, did we have any sexual situations on SmackDown? And don't give me Scarlett just looking sexy. Don't give me Monsieur and Marseille, you know, posing. Why? Because they said titillating your juices? That's not sexual situations. Did we have any real coarse language yesterday? I wouldn't say so. Not enough to warrant a rating, but very interesting. And I pointed it out yesterday, and it sat there for an hour, and suddenly nobody cares. Did you notice that? Nobody cared yesterday that had that rating. That's a big deal. That is a big deal, because Fox, regular primetime television, is actually allowing some of this. Now, do I think every week will be that rating going forward? No. I wouldn't be surprised if we go back to TVPG, but it's going to be interesting to see what we get on Monday. I would not be surprised on Monday if we got that or if we got TV14. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but listen, you don't just put letters out there because it looks nice. They put those letters out there for a reason. This is something that was discussed with the network. This is live. Fox doesn't have a crystal ball. Oh, the Maxima Mel models later, they're going to go to rub their booties. They're going to rub their booties. Oh, Scarlett, she's going to just look, give that the look that could kill. You know, they don't know what's going to go on. So this is something that WWE discussed with Fox. Take note of that. All right. A few of you have asked, what's the thing that I did not like yesterday about Cross and Drew McIntyre? I'm going to show you. You all remember this segment yesterday? Karrion Kross cut a promo with Scarlett in the back. Everybody knows about the bloodline. Now we're going to show them the new timeline. Talks about people who were given opportunity and they were cast away like garbage. And now they're going to take it out on every WWE superstar. Now, Karrion Kross's promo was spectacular. It was excellent. Why did I have a problem with it? Can any of you figure it out? Now, if you didn't see SmackDown yesterday, that is Drew McIntyre on the right preparing for his match. And right after they showed Cross staring at Drew McIntyre, Drew McIntyre's music hit, and Drew came out for his match. And it was him and Madcap Moss, you know, over the Usos. Now, does anybody know what problem I had with this segment? Can anybody figure it out? Because I double-checked on Twitter, and I didn't see anybody mention it. Well, I'm going to tell you. When Cross cut his promo, it was live on TV. The arena heard it. We heard it and saw it on TV. It was on the Titantron for the live audience as well. Everything that Cross said was beaming through the speakers. So I ask all of you, how the fuck did Drew McIntyre not hear it? He didn't have earbuds on. How did Drew McIntyre not hear Karrion Kross saying all of this through the speakers. So I thought that was a little bit goofy, but the only thing that I kind of wish, he didn't have his Raycon earbuds in, because the music hit and he came right out. I wish Kross would have attacked him right then and there. He should have ran up to him and just attacked him from behind. But, you know, later on we had the segment where Scarlett comes out and she's standing by the ringside area. And, you know, Drew McIntyre is cutting a promo. He's hyping up Clash at the Castle. She comes out by herself. She goes up the steps. She's standing on the apron. And she's basically sending a message on behalf of Kross to Drew. And everybody and their mother, including me, expected Kross to attack Drew McIntyre again. But this time it was the Usos. You know, because, look, the Usos are attacking Drew because Drew is going to be facing Roman at Clash at the Castle. And then Scarlett just leaves. So it was a little interesting to see how they did that yesterday. But Kross's promo was great. But Drew, you know, acting like, you know, he didn't hear anything at that particular moment, or just like standing there and doing nothing. I don't know. I thought that was a little eh. If they didn't play it in the speakers around the building, different. You know, that would have been different. One thing yesterday also that I wanted to share with everyone. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, Liv Morgan. There was one thing I wish would have happened in this segment yesterday. And no, don't add Ronda Rousey to the match. That could still happen, because that was the match we talked about last week, that maybe Ronda gets added, something happens, and then, you know, Liv maybe steal a pin, pinning Shayna or something. Who knows? But Ronda comes out. She's supposed to be suspended. She's got a bag. She dumps a bunch of money on the table. Now, for those who already DM'd me, emailed me, and said, you know, how could they put all that money out? That's not real money. You could go on Amazon right now and buy fake $100 bills. You could buy 500 of them. And they look real, but they're not real, and they don't feel real. But, yeah, you use them as props. So when you see the money like that on the table, it's not real money. But when Shayna Baszler came out, Ken terminated by DQ. Shout out to you. He's on NWA's live stream right now because I am boring. So everyone, if you want to join Ken, go right ahead, because we'll be wrapping this up soon. There's your shout out, by the way. So you could go on Amazon and buy fake, but when Shayna Baszler, she had that little confrontation with Ronda, and Shayna came off soft. Ronda, that's not how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it the right way. And Ronda's like, oh, you used to be a killer. You know, Shayna Baszler, I did not like in that segment. That's why I feel they could possibly go three-way, because they're setting up friction between Ronda and Shayna Baszler. But when Shayna Baszler beat the shit out of Liv Morgan, before Liv Morgan did like the Dudley drop, whatever, you know, that what would Brother Runt used to do? You know, the Dudley dog or whatever? Is that it? When she put the bulldog through the table and knocked Shayna Baszler out, when Shayna Baszler was attacking Liv Morgan, methodically injuring her arm, I was begging here. I'm like, Shayna, please, look down at the money. Shove the money in your fucking pocket. There are $100 bills everywhere. There was probably about, I don't know what, $10,000 worth of fake hundreds. She, acid drop. Thank you, Gross. I can't believe it. There are tons of money in storyline, in the ring, all over the table. She's just slowly moving around, attacking Liv Morgan's arm, elbow, and I'm loving it. And I'm like, oh my God, look down. Put some of the money in your pocket. Steal it. Show everybody. Shove it in your pocket. She would have got a pop. And I know she's not supposed to be a babyface, but still, greedy. Put the money in your pocket. She didn't do it. Kind of wish she did. Liv didn't do it either. But they didn't do that. All right. So Raquel Rodriguez in the Liga. Raquel Rodriguez. What did I say? Rodriguez? Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah, they beat Shotzi and Xia Li to advance. Still kind of concerned about Xia Li's status on WWE television right now. We have promos from Sonya Deville and Natalya, as well as Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark setting up their match for next week. We had a segment where Ricochet was being interviewed. He got attacked from behind by Happy Corbin. That'll set up a follow-up match next week. Hit Row making their return, beating Brandon Scott and Trevor. Los Lotharios, they had an incident with Maximum Male Models, as we said earlier. So this may set up a match with them. I don't know about next week, but maybe the following week. And then Gunther retaining the Intercontinental Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura in an excellent, excellent match. You know, the one thing you do have to keep asking yourself now is, where does Shinsuke go from here? Where does he go from here? I mean, they had a beautiful match. But if you look at Shinsuke, you know, they teased this with Roman not too long ago. Remember when it felt like Shinsuke was getting a little momentum and it just felt like, you know, yeah, he's going to fight for the championship, but it doesn't feel like he's any threat for it. You know, like, that's what seems like they've done with Shinsuke the last 2 years. Remember you had the IC title run? It was the worst run in the history of wrestling. Not his fault, WWE Creative's fault. But you really look at Shinsuke the last 2 years, where do you go? When the draft happens. Oh, did you see now people are talking about the draft? I mean, it's common sense. We know the draft is happening in September, October. I don't know why that sudden breaking news. Our sources tell us that the draft is going to be coming up soon. You know, hey, breaking news, everyone. Thanksgiving is going to be coming up soon. Halloween's going to be coming up soon. All right. Let's talk quickly about AEW, Rampage, a couple other things. Let's get out of here. First of all, Dynamite's rating did 972. They have to break a million next week. They have to get at least 1,050,000 or 1,060,000. CM Punk returning, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, 2 out of 3 falls against Daniel Garcia. If those two can't generate another 100,000 viewers, that is sad. I think no reason why they can't get 1.1. I mean, 972 is not a bad number, but what had people been saying the last 2 months, 3 months? Oh, the ratings are kind of shoddy because CM Punk is not back in the set. You know they're going to set up the match between Punk and Moxley, Fall Out, next week. So you'd been doing 970, 960, 960, around there. So how many extra viewers should Punk attract now? If it's just another 40,000 viewers, what? How do you feel about that? Does that say that what Punk said last year is actually true? That if Punk is not on TV, there's not many AEW fans that are going to be like, I'm not watching. I'm not watching until he's back on TV. I'm not watching this week. No. No. Is he back? No. I want to see how many extra viewers Punk and the Danielson match attracts. I think they got to do minimum 1,060,000, and that, I feel, is a little low. Impact did 131. Still not a good number, but better than what they've been doing. You know, it's funny. A couple of weeks ago, they did like 95,000 viewers. So you look at that, and you take the overdramatic news reports. Impact is up 45% in 3 weeks. You know, it sounds like it's a lot, but that's because the ratings are so low. And New Japan, still nobody's reporting their ratings. No one's even bothering because they don't want to get the number because it's so fucking low. after Forbidden Door, they're embarrassed to post the number. That's why TNA, you all realize that back in the day, you would hear 3.8 rating, 3.1 rating, 1.7 rating, 2.2 rating. Back then when I was feuding with TNA through my shows, and I used the term aces and 0.8s, the reason why I called aces and 8s, aces and 0.8s, is because the storyline sucked so bad that they could only get a 0.8 rating. So when did ratings go from 1.6, 3.4, 5.5, 0.8? When did it go to the actual number of viewers? That happened because of TNA. TNA's viewership started getting so low that people who were defending TNA no longer wanted to write 0.6, 0.4, 0.5. What they started doing was they started writing TNA Impact did 477,000 viewers. But they would do the points on the demos. On the demos. You see that now. You know, for some reason, they'll give you the overall viewership, but when it comes to the demos, no, it did a 0.33. It did a 0.18. It did a 0.2. So once the demos really, really get low, you'll start seeing the demos be based on thousands. I'm going to, in the very near future when I'm bored, I'm going to go back to my old website and I'm going to find the precise week where the ratings went from decimal points to the actual viewerships. But it was TNA that was caused by. So a little ratings history in case you don't know. So, all right. Rampage yesterday, I got to be honest with you, I watched it around 1 this morning because I was not around for the watch party getting shit done here. Outside of the confrontation with Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia, I didn't like the show at all. I was very happy for Parker Boudreaux, obviously, but I didn't like the show at all. Guevara and Ty Mello over Dante Martin and Sky Blue to retain the AAA mixed tag titles. It was a fun match. I can't, you know, criticize it that much, but it just felt just random. Beardhausen losing to the Gun Club. You know, it was nice to see Eric Redbeard back. That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild because last week we were talking about, look, they don't bring back Eric Redbeard and suddenly he's back. Hey, AEW, Miro must wrestle this Wednesday. The Redeemer must wrestle. If Miro wrestles Wednesday, guys, then either we are just on some wacky, weird coincidences here, or maybe someone is listening a little bit. I know there's a few people within AEW that tune into the shows. They know who they are. But, you know, it was nice to see Eric Redbeard back. Beardhausen, I could see something going with that. So that was a little fun, but, you know, I would have rather seen the Gun Club lose because of the acclaimed, maybe causing them to lose, you know, and maybe have like one fight. I personally think the dumpster match should have been taking place at All Out. That's what I would have done. Hook, we really didn't hear from Hook, but it set up a match next week with him versus Zach Clayton, as I said earlier. I know a lot of you don't know who Zach Clayton is, and a lot of people that were there also didn't know. He's actually been wrestling, I think, for like 6 or 7 years. Jersey Shore guy, but he actually, you know, he's wrestled on AEW before, I think on Dark. So, sure, the main roster, you know, casual fans don't know who he is, but, you know, he's not, you know, like, I think some people immediately thought that, oh, AEW is trying to find their answer of Logan Paul. No, this guy actually has trained and worked as a wrestler for several years now. So, that's Zach Clayton. We had Orange Cassidy versus Ari Daivari. And this was just a fucking train wreck. It was a fucking train wreck because earlier Parker Boudreaux beat Sonny Kiss in about a minute. And we saw Daivari whispering something in Sonny Kiss's ear. And ultimately, towards the end, Sonny Kiss, who just got the shit knocked out of him or her by Parker Boudreaux, and then later on, Sonny Kiss kicks Orange Cassidy in the nuts, joins up with the Truth Busters. So, you know, I really think, seriously, and I mean this with nothing but sincerity, Tony Khan needs to start worrying about his company because of this. Simple. For 3+ years, him, some wrestlers, a lot of the noise on social media were telling people, watch me, they bad. They're bad, watch us. There's no reason why you should be watching them. Their thing sucks. No disrespect to the wrestlers. They'll always go out of their way. They don't want to disrespect the wrestlers, but WWE sucked. How many interviews did he do on Busted Open and other places? Like, I watched that show yesterday. It was awful. It was horrible. They had to change the script, this and that. For 3+ years, everybody who makes the noise were trying to tell you, watch AEW because WWE sucks. Now you have to watch AEW because AEW is good. If you, that sounds familiar, that's what turned the corner back in the day when we were doing the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. In 05, 06, 07, you know, we were making fun of every podcaster out there. We were doing skits and promos, making fun of everyone. And we were telling everybody how fucking awful In Your Head was, and this one, and, you know, Jackie Jones and all this shit. And honestly, I never really, like, even paid attention to this stuff, but we just ripped everyone. And we were telling everybody how bad they were. All these people interviewing all these famous wrestlers, and that's the only way they could get views or listens. And then, you know, it just hit us, I think, in 2008. You know, somebody had said, like, you know, have people tune into you because you're good, not because they're bad. And that was the turning point. We ended up being a show of the year in 08, and the numbers, you know, took off. And ever since, that is my calling card with everyone out there. I want you to tune in here because this show is good. You have a good time. It's fun. You know, we, you know, talk about things. We analyze it. We praise. We criticize. But we also put a lot of facts out there. But I don't care if other people are bad. You know, like, we'll call out the legitimate sources that get it wrong because we have to. Because if you don't, then you think that everything is being reported as news. You know, do we need to rehash all the topics we've been talking about? From the Brock Lesnar quitting to the TV 14 to, you know, Triple H being forced out to Keith Lee, we have nothing for you. You know, meanwhile, he's in the hospital. Elizabeth, I think it's a big one. Elizabeth, it's a big one. You know? So, yeah, we didn't get any Dexter Lumis this time. Boo. Boo. We should have got some Dexter Lumis, you know, on SmackDown. I know you're going to say, oh, he showed up on Raw. No, I want to see these guys, like, showing up on both brands. I want to feel like, okay, you got kicked out of Raw. Now I show up on SmackDown. You get kicked out on SmackDown, I don't think they want him to show up in NXT. I don't think they want Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis to cross eyes again. And what would happen? What would happen to cross eyes? All right. Let's start bringing this home, everybody. Let's start bringing this home. Next week, Swerve and Our Glory are finally going to defend those fucking tag titles against Private Party. Hook will be defending the FTW Championship against Zach Clayton. And then we will have the Trust Busters taking on Best Friends in the first round of the Trios Tag Team Tournament. So Fly says Triple H wants us to be surprised. It's going to be random. Yeah, I know. It would have been random if he showed up yesterday. I was hoping for a little bit of Von Wagner. Would have loved to have seen some Von Wagner yesterday. They may have to wait on the Von Wagner stuff because Solo Sikoa is injured. You can't afford to lose both guys on NXT television right now. So it would not surprise me if maybe they keep Von Wagner around for a little bit longer. But, all right. I think we covered almost everything. I'm not done yet. I'm going to spend a few minutes in the chat room with everybody, talk a few things. But I would like to remind everyone that today's episode of the Don Tony Show is brought to you by Manscaped. I have plugged them before. I am not only an advertiser, a plugger, but I am also a user, and great, great stuff, man. Top quality stuff. This product is designed mostly for men. Just being honest, they're not sexist. You know, there's women's products out there that are designed pretty much for women or those who identify as women. In fact, you know what? I'm curious. I know this might be a little controversial. I know that there's some men that identify themselves as women, but let's be honest. I can't use a women's razor on my face. So if I was identifying as a woman, would I use a woman's razor? I don't... Stupid? Yeah, probably stupid. Yeah. Anyway, tonight's episode of the Don Tony Show is brought to you by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com right now. Enter the promo code DON'T TRIP. You get free shipping. Free shaving. You get free shipping and 20% off your order. Go check out the Ultimate Smooth Package. That is the first item that I ever bought from their store. And basically, it's three items. You got a razor, you got exfoliator, and you have a gel. And basically, the idea is to groom yourself down there because the scientific study is that about 85% of people out there who are sexually involved with someone else, whether you like your peanuts, you know, M&Ms with peanut or plain, that they prefer someone who's groomed. So if you were like me for many years that never bothered, you know, to trim the hedges at all, you know, one day you wake up and it's like you have like Don King down there. You like somehow out of nowhere, you know, it's like Wes Lee's head. You just walk out, it's like giant bunch of hair. So what do you do about it? Do you hang Christmas lights on it or do you finally do something about it? So it took the Ultra Smooth Package for me. But you go on their website, they have something called the Lawnmower 4.0. It's like a trimmer, like you would trim for your sideburns, but it's meant for down there, the Lawnmower 4.0. I strongly suggest, if you do have a lot down there, pick up that lawnmower, use that first, get it trimmed nicely, nice and neat, and then you go in the shower, you use the exfoliator. I see, I don't even need to look because I've done this many times. Use the exfoliator. I know this is a little uncomfortable for some people out there, but hey, what do you want to do? What happens if you die tomorrow and you have to go to a morgue? You think, how are you going to feel? The morgue like undresses you and they're going to start embalming you and they look down there and it looks like a 70s porn. Like, you know, you want to be groomed. My mom used to say to me, I swear to God, when I was a kid, my mom used to say to me, Anthony, always wear clean underwear. Because you never know, you might get hurt and be rushed to the hospital. And if they have to pull your pants down for any reason, you don't want them to see skid marks. My mom used to tell me that when I was a kid, always wear clean underwear. I don't know why. To this day, if I had kids, I don't even think I would say that. You know, I don't even say that to my fiance, you know. But anyway, I'm getting myself in bad territory here. So get the Lawnmower 4.0, trim it, go in the shower, use the exfoliator. It cleans the dead skin, gets rid of it, opens up the pores. Then you get out of the shower, you put the crop gel on, gives some nice cooling sensation. And basically everything down there is nice, it's cool, it's happy. And you're like, give it to me. And then you get the shaver and you trim yourself down and, you know, you look good. You feel good. You feel lighter down there. So, Nero Faye, yes, they will ship to Israel. And if you need help with that, I'll hook you up. I'll hook you up. So, manscaped.com and enter the promo code DON'T TRIP. Fuck you, Manscaped, if you did that promo code because I fell down a flight of stairs. But if you put that in there, you get 20% off and you get free shipping. And manscaped.com, good shit. All right. We're at an hour and 39 minutes. Why don't we spend about 15 minutes or so in the live chat? Now, obviously, tomorrow at 8:05, we have the sit-down, and I will be here. And, you know, obviously get your questions ready because that's going to be a banger. But for now, you know, based on what we talked about today, anything you saw yesterday, Hit Row, anything else from the week, there's something in particular you want me to answer quick, just put the word question before your question so I could spot it quicker. Liddell says, I've done more for Manscaped in my promos than any other content creator. It's because I actually use it. I actually use it. I try to be funny about it, but I'm not lying. I don't mind saying it. I could poke fun at myself. I probably at some point for like 10 years didn't groom. Just didn't give a shit. You know, it was like, whatever, you know? So after a while, you realize, you know, and then, you know, it is what it is. All right. I don't wear it. Whoa, Kaya. You don't have to wear white underwear for it to be dirty. You could wear black boxer shorts and they smell like figs. Yeah, I mean, if you have dirty underwear, you don't have to see evidence of a skid mark. I mean, you could wear underwear and it blends in. It's what it smells like. What I'd like to see Cross versus Ricochet. Yeah. Kind of give me some Lucha Underground vibes. Sure. I think that would be good. Sure, it would be good. I mean, Cross, listen, Cross is going to have to beat the fuck out of some baby faces. And if you look at the SmackDown roster, there's not a giant selection. But you know what's interesting about this? You know, yes, Drew McIntyre is a SmackDown wrestler, but Drew McIntyre also showed up on Raw recently. Roman Reigns is the champion for both brands. So this is why they got to be a little bit careful with Karrion Kross, because why wouldn't he show up on Raw? If they advertise Roman for Raw, you know, or if Drew shows up on Raw, because look, why wouldn't Drew show up on Raw also to confront Roman? Brock showed up on Raw. You know, some people may say, well, Brock is a Raw wrestler. I don't think Brock, what brand is he actually on? Brock is his own guy. But you could put Kross on Raw as well. But I personally think 3-hour show, the ratings went down 300,000 viewers, everyone. You know, this week, I want to make it clear for those that don't know, SmackDown was preempted in some areas. So the rating is going to be lower. But it's not going to be lower because of lack of interest. It's because of preemptions. But Raw is going back similar numbers before Triple H ever took creative. So when people online are trying to tell you like, oh my God, you know, the product is amazing, this and that, you know, it's got to reflect the ratings too. You can't just have a louder noise on social media. It's going to be backed up in the numbers. So, you know, let's see what Raw's rating is going to be this week, but it's not going to be, you know, the highest in 5 years or 3 years. It'll be a decent number, but it's going to be comparable to before. You know, remember, a lot of that noise hated Legends Night last year, and it was like the top three rated Raw of all year. Oh, I love this one. I love this one. Thank you for the five spot, Philip. With all of his returns, do I see WWE bringing back Bray Wyatt? Yes. Bray Wyatt will be back. Bray Wyatt will be back. With this momentum right now, again, I'm not spelling doom and gloom for AEW. Please, I don't want anybody to think that. I'm not trying to allude to that. But I got to ask you an honest question. Put Bray Wyatt aside for a minute, but I ask everyone an honest question. Why would someone choose AEW over WWE? Right now. The people that would choose it are maybe some wrestlers who want a lighter schedule, maybe some wrestlers who want to be able to have some outside, you know, projects, maybe some people who, you know, don't want that grind or not ready for that grind. Maybe they have newborns at home. Maybe they have some family. Maybe they have some, you know, relatives that are ill. So it's no longer that WWE creative sucks and John Laurinaitis is there and this is and that. You know, Bruce Pritchard is still there. And creatively, everybody's been fine the last couple of weeks. So it goes to show you that it's perception, not necessarily names. Bray Wyatt, though, why would Bray Wyatt choose AEW over WWE right now? There is no logical reason. Other than if Tony Khan grossly overpaid for Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is going to return to WWE. It will happen. It will happen. Yes, my answer is yes, Phil. I believe Bray Wyatt absolutely will be back. The question is, does he come back as the Fiend or does he come back as Bray? I think he comes back as Bray. I don't think he comes back as the Monster. I think Wyndham returns as Bray Wyatt, former leader of the Wyatt family. Maybe we see a little bit of a new reincarnation of Bray Wyatt. Maybe his look is a little bit different. Not saying he's going to be the American badass, but hey, he might come back with a little bandana, you know, a little bit bulkier, stronger, you know, maybe a leather jacket. You might see a little bit of a different tweak. Oh, James Edwards with the double shot, double espresso shot. I'll get into it in a second. I got to wait for it to pop up. Now it popped up. Thank you, Phil. All right, James Edward. Do I think eventually after his control your narrative stuff is done, well, I'd like to see Braun Strowman return. Braun Strowman, I'm still baffled why they let him go. The choo-choo stuff sucked. The train stuff was awful. But he was having some great matches, and the buzz at that time was that Vince thought that he was way past, you know, what he was being paid. I don't know. I don't know. I think Braun Strowman is still extremely valuable in wrestling. And it is very surprising that he has not done more as far as televised product, you know, with Impact or AEW or anything like that. You know, is he a cancer, a problem in a locker room? No, not that I'm aware of. I could see Braun Strowman back. The guy, it was well-liked by the fans. You bring him back, you don't do the choo-choo train stuff. You let him be a monster. You know, yeah, I could see it. Sure. But remember this. And I think this is the mistake that a lot of people make. You don't just want to take a list of everybody who was let go and just say, oh, they should all be brought back. You really got to take a step back and think about it. Because like I said, with Roderick Strong, like, you know, we're not going to joke right now, but I'm a big fan of his. Do I see him making a difference in AEW? No. I can't see people in droves going nuts for the guy. But at the same time, I don't see him the way he is right now, you know, staying in WWE or NXT as it is. So you don't keep people or you don't bring people back simply because they've been done wrong. Some people are just not going to fit. And you look at the people who are released, there are some people who just do not fit. Listen, they're still sports entertainment. They say wrestling to appease people online. Oh, they said wrestling. Now I could exhale. You know, it's like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like, it's still sports entertainment. It's still with the advertisers, the investors. This is they're not going to change all this stuff. Bobby Lashley said in an interview recently. Titus O'Neil said in an interview recently. Triple H said it to Ariel Helwani. You're not going to dramatically change anything. You know, the WWE is making crazy money. Why would you tweak it? Because a few podcasters have their balls in a bunch that are uptight? No. So there's not going to be tremendous change. So it's still an entertainment company, and it'll always be an entertainment company. You will see more wrestling, but you saw more people in skits yesterday on SmackDown than you normally would. You saw more people in skits yesterday than usual to get people on TV, to make it feel that it's not just wrestling. So, but yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Braun Strowman returning. Sure. Okay. We got about 9 minutes left. So ask away. Just like I said, put the word question before your question so I could spot it quicker. And then again, 8:05 tomorrow, sit down. We'll be in full force. Let me know, you know, what you think about what we were talking about earlier with the 24/7 title. I thought that was a pretty good graphic. 24/7, we coming for you. Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you. No way. You will never get me to say that. You know, I don't even say it in real life, man. Just never was never a word of my vocabulary. All right. Let's see. I'm checking the questions. All right. Let's start wrapping this up, I think, because I think some of you are going off the rails a little bit. I am very happy about Parker Boudreau. I wonder, like I said earlier, I wonder if Tony Khan sped up the signing because maybe he thought that Triple H would consider bringing him back and pushing him a little bit further as Hulk. Remember, people were labeling the next Brock Lesnar. They were labeling Parker Boudreau the next Brock Lesnar, and Parker has been busting his ass since he was let go. So his value has gone up. Remember the value that WWE saw in him before he was released. His value is better now. So it's going to be interesting to see if we start seeing a bunch more so-and-so is all elite in the next couple of weeks. Then you got to start asking yourself, is Tony Khan signing people to prevent them from going to WWE? That will be one of the biggest mistakes Tony Khan ever makes. That's what WCW used to do at the time. Think about all those wrestlers that were getting paid to stay home. Wrestlers were signed so they would not go to WWE. Tony Khan gave an alternative, a nice environment the last 3+ years for a lot of wrestlers. And a lot of wrestlers, let's give them credit, a lot of wrestlers are happier now in AEW than they were in WWE. No question. But if that no longer is the case, is Tony Khan going to start paying people just so they don't go to WWE? You're starting to hear some news people say, oh, the backstage climate in AEW is all disarray and Tony Khan is you know, out of control. That's not true. As much as, you know, some people may want it to, that's not true. You know what they're basing that on now? Because they are now setting up the opposite. Oh, a lot of people who left WWE, our sources tell us that people like Athena and others, you know, can't wait to go back to WWE and give it another shot. Tony Khan don't want to hear that. Tony, remember that comment, everyone. In fact, that's the only thing I'm going to add to the synopsis that's already on the page. The biggest mistake Tony Khan will ever do for AEW is start signing people so they don't go to work for Triple H and WWE. Gruss is asking, will the NXT version of Robert Roode return to the main roster? Boy, I don't know if that'll work. I like Robert Roode. Not everybody, listen, every person you add to the main roster, you're taking away someone else's spot. Unless you start doing trios matches every week and you start having factions with 4, 5, 6 people in it. And WWE is not going to do what AEW is doing. I don't know, as much as I like Robert Roode, I don't know if Robert Roode is in the long-term future plans with WWE. I will not be surprised if we find out he's been offered to be a trainer and wrestle part-time. Would not surprise me this time next year if Robert Roode is no longer in WWE. I'm not saying that he's not good. It's just when you get more people on TV, other people are losing opportunity. I can't see where Robert Roode fits in other than enhancement talent for other people. I liked Robert Roode in NXT. Sure, absolutely. He could go there for a little bit to help some of the stars of tomorrow, and then what? That's a big salary to pay, you know, just for NXT. I don't see that. You know, that's why some of these guys got let go from Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and others. WWE did not want to pay that kind of money for a developmental. It's not even about ratings anymore. It's about building the stars of tomorrow. Matt Bloom, Shawn Michaels, Norman Smiley, others, whoever's there, those are the ones that are developing the stars of tomorrow, and they get paid decent. You don't need $400,000 or $500,000 wrestlers, you know, just losing matches on NXT to give this perception that somebody's being elevated. You know, those trainers are much more valuable for that wrestler than a wrestler just losing to someone else. That's why with Jade Cargill, you could put Madison Rayne and bigger names, but, you know, she still had some issues that have to be fixed. And just having her beat bigger names does not make us think that she's wrestling any better. She will get better. She's going to be a huge, huge star in the future. But you can't simply do that by beating big names. When do I see Judgment Day getting some gold? Not right now. Not right now. Right now, we got to see what happens with the tag titles. And I know the biggest kick lately with everyone is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Because Sami Zayn obviously is going to get jumped by the Bloodline sooner or later. And they figure, well, Sami Zayn's not going to go for the heavyweight title. So let's just give him a partner and go for the tag titles. And a lot of people think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I'm not so sure about that. Because Kevin Owens gives no inkling that he is going to be a babyface anytime soon. So, but I wouldn't say I wouldn't like it. I would definitely like it. Yeah, we don't want six-minute trios matches. It works sometimes, but not all the time. Do I think Khan will hold people if they start asking for their release? Yeah, that's what I said a little while ago, Soulfly. I think some people may be paid, just not go to the competitor. You know, look, with Tony, another reason why AEW will be fine, everyone, is they're not doing house shows. They're not doing house shows. So they don't have to worry about paying all this money and only 1,000 fans show up. They're not, and that's one of the reasons why AEW will never be, at this time, gigantic competition for WWE. Even if they score 2 million in the ratings, they don't do house shows. House shows make crazy amounts of money. What do you want, $75 t-shirts? Does anybody realize how much their merchandise costs? Do you realize why the pay-per-views, the price is so much more than everyone else? Because Tony Khan does not want to make up that revenue by doing house shows. And the reason why he can't do house shows, and we've talked about this before, is because he doesn't have employees that can work that extra time. If they do, they got to be paid accordingly. Tony Khan wants to have the biggest wrestling promotion without putting in all the work that's necessary. Am I wrong? They do two shows a week, you know, for the most part. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but they don't tour. They don't do house shows. They'll do something a week of a pay-per-view, but they really don't. Why? Because of the amount of time, work and money that's involved. You know, this guy works overtime already. Imagine if you add a Saturday and or Sunday house show, you know, 2 weeks out of every month. You know, who's going to head all that up? The amount of money that's involved? So when you start breaking it down, you know, he's basically trying to be, you know, the number two or the number one without putting in the amount of time and work that's needed. So it'll always be one step below, which is fine. There's no reason why you can't. Listen, even if AEW breaks even every year, he's a billionaire, $10 billion. Even if AEW, I brought this up before, even if AEW lose $50 million a year, you know, you think about WCW, but imagine if they lose $50 million a year. That means in 20 years, they would lose $1 billion. That would be about 10% of what Tony Khan is worth right now, or the Khan family. Whatever it is, you realize why they ain't shutting down anytime soon. The only way they would have serious problems is if the network dropped them and they had to negotiate with another network and not get anywhere near as good of a deal. But you know what? WWE survived TNN. Was it TNN? Yeah, TNN. We got Pop. So if that TV deal came and went, I'm sure some TV network out there would pick up AEW. So, all right, Smoking Trees. Do I think they should have better explained why we think Austin Theory could cash in for two titles or instead of one? Nah, at this point, they're just teasing it. The focus now is Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, and Triple H did right in that. You will see Austin Theory still tease a little bit, but you don't want to take any focus away from Drew and Roman. Yes, some people may think Cross takes the focus away a little bit as well. I don't think so. I think what they're doing is planting a seed following Clash at the Castle. But no, Theory right now, you know, they've pulled back on it just to keep the focus on Clash at the Castle. Look, 70 plus thousand tickets. It might be far more than that right now. This is a gigantic, gigantic event. So they want to keep the focus on that. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about the AEW video game Wednesday. We ended up being right. All these people that said, oh, the video game was originally supposed to be released at the end of the year, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. That's not even true. But it's now going to be a February release. Yeah, I plan on getting the game. I plan on getting it. I'll try it out. You know, I expect to get it. I mean, I'll pay close attention to the gameplay and see if it's worth it. Like, I'm not, like, clamoring to, you know, play Orange Cassidy in a video game. But if it has all the antics and stuff like that, I think it would be fun. I'm off keto now for almost 3 weeks. And I have not gained a pound. Thank God. I've had pasta one time. I have not gone crazy with that. Although I did eat a little bit of Chinese food yesterday. All right, so let's wrap this up. I'm going to jet out of here. It is 1 o'clock in the afternoon here on Saturday, the 13th of August. So start preparing yourselves, everyone. The week of September 10th to the 18th, I will not be doing any shows. I will be on my honeymoon in Florida. I may dip in like one night, like on my laptop and, you know, maybe stream a little bit from Disney, you know, just chewing the fat. Maybe we'll just do a sit-down episode, because sit-downs we could do. Maybe I'll do a sit-down live from Florida. But for that week, you know, I will be gone. So Clash at the Castle, obviously I will be busy that day. Maybe that Sunday we can do something. If not, then maybe Monday the 5th. But we'll definitely do something. But mark it down, September 10th to the 18th, I will be out of the state. So no shows will be going down at that time. But tomorrow, 8.05 p.m., if you want to join me, we'll be doing a sit-down. And I show up with blank piece of paper, and you bring up the topics, you set the stage, and whatever you bring up, that is what we talk about. And the last 2 weeks have been, I mean, they're all good. The last 2 weeks, I've noticed a lot more feedback, you know, from people just really, really enjoying, you know, the conversation. So nothing stupid, nothing stupid. And shout out to Edward G before I get out of here. How have I been? I've been pretty good. I really can't complain. I can't complain. You know, having some fun shows. You know, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, you know. It's little health issues here and there, but I really can't complain. All is good. You know, always try to keep positive vibes. Always try to have a good time, you know, and it's a shame. Like we brought up the last couple of weeks to see all this fighting online and, you know, all this just bullshit. I mean, I'm not a politically correct person. I will never be politically correct. I might have toned down a little bit over the years, but, you know, at this stage of the game, I just don't understand why people just complain and fight and just argue and just, I don't get it. So I'm just very, very happy that everybody's having a good time here and I'm having a good time here, and we'll keep it going. So, all right. Join me tomorrow, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, for the sit-down. We'll have a fun show. And on the way out, if you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. It helps more than you realize. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. And I'm looking at the live. Where are we at? Are we at 30,300 still? I think we're around 30,300. I know not everybody checks out the video every week. If, you know, no reason why you need to see my ugly face every week. We got the audio only side over at Blue Wire. So whether you tune in on the audio side or the video or a combination thereof, I thank you as always for the support. Much love. And thank you for smashing it. Hopefully tonight I get to smash it. Probably not.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean,
she got her thingy. That's why.
They were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.